Welcome everyone to our workshop today called Maintenance and Sponsoring in Maintenance. We welcome you all. I want to tell you a little bit about how this got started. We had a World Service Sponsorship Committee, and three of us were delegates and very interested in the great need to clarify the confusion in maintenance. There was so much confusion. So we created a workshop over this year, the past year, and it was presented at the World Service Convention in 2014. And it's actually one of the audio downloads for the 2014 Global Convention, so you can hear it. But today we're lucky, at that time there were only two of us, now there are all three of us on the line, and we're going to present this same workshop to the phone bridge so that there will be clarity around maintenance and maintenance and sponsoring, and so hopefully by the end of this workshop you'll feel energized, revitalized, and have clarity around this wonderful process of maintenance. We will begin with the Serenity Prayer. So it is muted. If you want to join in, just press star 6. God grant me the serenity.
Amen.
Make sure you remute yourself since this is being recorded. Just press star 6. So, we're going to talk about how to do maintenance as it is written, how to stay at your goal weight, and live in emotional and spiritual recovery. And what we did is we divided this in three parts. So the first part will be maintenance sponsorship guidelines, transition to maintenance, and will be done by Rebecca S. The second part, physical abstinence and slipping in maintenance, will be done by Judy K. And the last part, emotional and spiritual abstinence and maintenance, will be done by Jill T. Following that, write down your questions as they come up, and we're going to have a question, answer, and comment period. And so that's going to be hopefully long enough for you all to get your questions in there. It will be timed by Jill T., so everyone will have 3 minutes. And if you have a particular person that you want to address them to, you can say the name of that person. Otherwise, what we'll do is alternate in the way that we gave the presentation. So, for example, Rebecca will do the first question, I'll do the second, and Jill will answer the third. So, let's get started. This is very dear to my heart because I've been maintaining for a long time, and I could never do it before CHOW. So we're going to get started with Rebecca S. She's going to talk to us about maintenance sponsorship guidelines and transition to maintenance. Rebecca, take it away.
Thank you so much, Judy. It's so good to be here this afternoon. My name is Rebecca, and I'm a compulsive eater. I'd just like to start off by qualifying, if you don't mind. Today, for me, is 6 years, 185 days. Of abstinence. I've been blessed to have released over 120 pounds. I started CHOW on July 10th, 2008, and my first day of maintenance was June 7th of 2009. As Judy mentioned, my focus topics this afternoon are requirements for a maintenance sponsor and the transition to maintenance. I wanted to look up the word maintenance in the dictionary, and the definition that I read stated care or upkeep. In relationship to CEA HOW and my topic today, we have a guideline for those seeking to maintain a healthy body weight. I'd like to start off with my first topic, requirements for a maintenance sponsor. Just what are these requirements? thank goodness that we have some wonderful established literature where we can get our guidelines. In our new book, Sponsoring and CEA How, on page 63, our sponsor guidelines tell us that to qualify as a CEA How maintenance sponsor, we must have the following qualifications. The first one is 90 days of continuous abstinence. The second is reached goal weight. The next is served as a food, inventory, and step sponsor. Completed the maintenance questions. And finally, gone through the maintenance sponsoring step-up ceremony. When we reach this level of sponsoring, we've done a lot of work in the program. In doing so, we have another great opportunity to realize the promises of CEA How by helping other compulsive eaters shift into this new journey of maintaining a healthy body weight. As I look over this list that I just gave you of the requirements, it truly is amazing when I look back to where I was in my recovery journey. I was so out of touch with my reality that it took a while for my mind to catch up with my body. Adjusting to such a massive weight loss, it left me very uncomfortable and often quite frightened. Personally, I didn't have a goal weight, nor did I have anything close to a good self-body image. My sponsor that helped me arrive to a point of practicing maintenance and the next phase of my development told me it was time to find a maintenance sponsor. And I thought, oh my gosh, please don't leave me is what I thought. But thank goodness, it kind of brings me to my next topic, which is transitioning into maintenance. And to me, this has just been invaluable, and I hold it as well very close to my heart. Going back to our literature, your sponsees will need to refer to Section 5, Maintenance, which is found in the Forever Abstinent book, pages 23 to 27. To begin the next phase of their journeys, this plan offers guidance and transition for a weight loss food plan to maintenance. We encourage them to read it thoroughly and to ask questions about anything they need help in understanding. Let's take a look at how this transition is done. The first thing is we arrive at a goal weight. The time to start the transition is when a male member falls within 10 pounds and a female member falls within 5 pounds of their target weight. My experience concerning this part of our, you know, of this arriving at a goal weight, as I said, I didn't really have a goal weight in mind. I just was kind of confused with all that. But I actually was within that target suggestion that it lists in our book. What kept happening for me was that I kept crashing, meaning I ran out of gas between meals with the food that I was ingesting, and people were telling me that I didn't look good. So it's recommended that we work closely with our sponsors and healthcare providers' suggestions on how and what an appropriate number for us is. The next bullet point was on how to transition into maintenance is we do this incrementally over time. That means we're going to do it slowly, meaning we're going to add one food item at a time. And in my mind, that seemed doable to me because I was so frightened that I had to do it very slowly. And thank God that was already in the plan. I just didn't know it. The next bullet point is we add food selection, weighed and measured, one at a time until the weight stabilizes. Now on page 25 of the Forever Abstinent book, it tells us maintenance foods are added in 6 phases, and these phases can be added in any order. Let me tell you what some of these food phases and categories are. The first one listed is fats as per menu outline. The next would be dinner fruit. The next one would be lunch fruit for those whose plan includes it. Next would be proteins as per menu outline. Next would be additional grain. And the last one listed in our book is additional fruit for those whose plan includes it. My experience was, as I had mentioned, I felt so depleted way before my next meal was due that with the approval of my sponsor, I chose to add a protein first. So I added that additional protein. And again, I was so frightened to add it, but I had a willingness to follow that direction. So I was able to add that protein, and lo and behold, I continued to lose weight even though I added more food. So my personal experience is that I added many phases of the listed items that I listed to you. I added fruit. I added more grain, and it kind of blew me away the amount of food that I was able to take in. But eventually my weight stabilized, and I did end up having to kind of scale back my intake. Now, the next bullet point as you transition is that we measure this progress by weighing weekly, meaning we allow for a 3-pound weight variance. With the addition of more food, if there is weight gain over 3 pounds in a 2-week period, we subtract a phase. If there is weight loss, we go on to another phase. We continue to add food until our weight stabilizes. I wanted to kind of note here, because anytime I hear the word scale, I get a little bit of a cold draft, if you will. With my experience in having to step on that scale, it brought up some special challenges for me. Whether that number was up a few pounds or down a few pounds, it was really a heyday for me in my head. It would roar with self-incriminating messages. When the number was down, I felt powerful and in control. When the number was up, I thought my sponsor was going to think I was not following the program and messing around. And it truly was a challenge for me. But again, I continued to surrender and follow directions because there was something inside me that innately knew that that was always the first step, is surrendering. So in order to combat that terrible head roar that I had with stepping on that scale, I had to go to my higher power. And how I do that is that I did it in a prayer. So even to this day, before I step on that scale every week, I ask God to help me be willing to accept that number as only a measurement and not a reflection of not being worthy or good enough. When I can practice this direction in a healthy way, it leaves room for my higher power to mold me in a way that has me in his best interest. So it gave me, I felt good about following that direction from my sponsor. And she was gently able to explain things to me about some of us are more active than others, or it's just the natural rhythm of my particular body. And the way she talked to me gave me a lot of comfort. So one special note here I'd like to mention is that as metabolism rate and physical activity varies, some members may need to make additional changes in food phases. But I think one thing that helped me really a lot is that if I just kept that food plan and what I was doing between my sponsor and God, it kept a lot of outside opinions away from me, which tended to cause a lot of confusion for me. So I would recommend that, staying close to your sponsor and your higher power when it comes to working these transitions of maintenance. And again, the most important thing is to work closely with your sponsor, have some trust, and believe in the recovery process, that my power, higher power has brought me this far, and I have to say that I was already amazed. A quick story I'd like to share with you is that when I first started maintenance, I'd lost so much weight that I was, like I said, I was crashing before each meal, and I was often very ill. In my sick mind, it told me that in order to be thin, one had to endure being ill. My head would talk to me, and I could feel a binge slowly creeping up on me because I was walking around very physically weak, and I just didn't realize I wasn't getting enough to eat. When my sponsor suggested adding more food, as I said, I became very frightened, and I literally thought she was trying to sabotage my weight loss. I thought, well, she's just jealous. I laugh about it today, but I was so afraid that that's truly what my mind told me. I became very aware very quickly that I needed to, again, come to a place of being willing to follow directions and be guided by those that have walked before me. I put my trust in my sponsor and my higher power. Slowly, I was brought back to sanity, and I was able to have peace of mind once again. If your sponsees are fearful about changing their food, remind them that they are not alone. Having successfully made the transition from the weight loss food plan to the maintenance food plan ourselves, we are invaluable resources for sponsees who are going through the same process. It is possible that some of the foods on this plan may create the phenomenon of craving in some of us. Thus, it is very important to work closely with your food sponsor to eliminate any such foods. And then this wonderful slogan that when in doubt, leave it out. I just feel really honored today to be able to be of service in explaining these two phases of maintenance to everyone. And I certainly follow these guidelines myself because they're helping me have the freedom to be in the world as a recovering compulsive eater and to be more happy, joyous, and free one day at a time. Thank you so much for listening to me, and I would like to pass the time on to Judy Kay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Rebecca. And I am Judy Kay, grateful compulsive eater. My section is physical abstinence in maintenance. And I just love that maintenance is black and white. To me, it's like a scientific experiment, that if you follow it step by step and you practice acceptance and trust in the process, it's amazing. I have never been able to maintain on anything like this program before. So let me start by qualifying. My name is Judy Kay. I am a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I released 34 pounds, but the miracle is that I've kept it off for 12 years, 10 months, 8 days. And I never was able to do that before. For me, it wasn't so much the amount of weight, but that I had a war in my head all the time. And today, I have to say, I really feel free. So let's talk about maintenance. Maintenance is a new phase of the physical part of our recovery process. However, it's important to remember it's not a destination. It's just another step on our journey of recovery. And so what's great is when you practiced all the other things before coming to maintenance, then it's in a habit. And so when you're adding the additional foods, you just continue everything you've been doing. You commit your food to your sponsor. You write a question every day. You do your outreach calls. Everything pretty much remains the same, except that you're adding some extra foods with the help of your sponsor. I was talking about our maintenance booklet, our blue booklet, which says, sugar abstinence is part of the freedom of recovery. Flour abstinence is part of the freedom of recovery, weighing and measuring, and honesty in using the scale. So these are very important. There's someone in our program that says weighing and measuring is like praying. So we continue all of that. And it's very important, as Rebecca was talking about, every week when we weigh, to be honest. We all know that part of our disease is denial, but it's very important to be honest about our weight, because then our sponsor knows what to do. I think of maintenance as a staircase. So you're on a certain level, a certain weight, and let's say your weight is 135. You have a range, and your range are 3 pounds up, which would be 138. So you can take those 3 steps up and then 3 steps down, which would be 132. But if you go off in either direction, if you go to the 4th step and you gain weight, then you talk with your sponsor about what you release. And it's in those categories listed on page 25 in the Forever Abstinent book. And it's really all about willingness. You know, it's time to release something. And if, on the other hand, you've lost more than 3 pounds and you're on the 4th step down, then your sponsor will say it's time to add something. And you only add one thing from that list on page 25, which is transition to maintenance food plan. So you can discuss it with your sponsor, and your sponsor can pray about it. You can either add a fat, a fruit, a protein, a grain, and every single person is different. If you're very athletic, you might need to add an additional grain. And so that's why it's so important to keep talking to your sponsor. Now, the chart on page 24, if any of you have looked in the Forever Abstinent booklet, you'll see that there's a chart. And people go, wow, I can look for my height and my weight. I can add all these things. Well, it's probably best to just put a big X through that chart. That is really, for most people, the maximum of what you can add. Because the beautiful thing about maintenance is every 2 weeks, you're adding one thing. Now, some people will plateau after adding one more thing. Other people will not plateau and will continue to lose weight and have to add maybe 4 things in those different categories. So that's why it's so important to work with a maintenance sponsor. Now, some people say, well, what if I get to my maintenance weight before I finish, let's say, my inventory? Well, in our program, it's very important that you have to finish your food questions for 30 days, your inventory questions, your step questions, and then you do your maintenance questions. Why? Because the steps are what are going to keep you free from the things that made you eat in the first place. But for me, for example, I was on my inventory questions working with a sponsor, and I reached my maintenance weight. So what I did was I asked someone to be my maintenance food sponsor, because my inventory sponsor was not at her maintenance weight. So I was working with someone on committing my food every day on my maintenance food plan. And then in the meantime, I was working with another sponsor in completing my inventory. Now, the book tells us that we can do that, but I would highly recommend, from my experience, that eventually you want to work with a maintenance sponsor, one sponsor. The reason is you want to work with someone who's gone before you. And there are different issues on maintenance, because we start to look normal, and there are things that come up, you know, when you look normal. You have to realize who you really are. You're a compulsive eater. There are relationship issues and so forth. So it's very important to work with someone who's a little further ahead on the path. I think it was great that Rebecca covered the idea of when you're 5 pounds from your goal weight, it's really important that you begin working with a maintenance sponsor who can get you ready. Many people will end up losing too much weight, so that is really important. The other thing I want to talk about is varying our food selections. I know when I first came into the program, I was so afraid of losing my abstinence that I ate pretty much the same thing every day. The idea of maintenance is we're now living with our recovery. We're living as a compulsive eater, and we're going to be doing this for the rest of our life. So it's really good to vary our food selections and to replace that fear with faith and trust. I love the fact that I can add something, even if I'm scared. You know, I'll say to my sponsor, I commit what it is. And if it calls to me at all, in other words, if it takes away my serenity in maintenance, no food is worth it. I've had issues with certain foods that call to me, and my sponsor will just say, just cross it out. That's not allowed for you on maintenance. So it's important to know that the peace, the serenity, the joy is the most important thing, and to trust that you can try different things. And then talk to your sponsor. Be honest. Oh, my goodness, all day I was thinking about when I was going to get to eat blank. And it's not worth it. So just cross it out. I was going to talk about the step-up ceremony and maintenance. In that blue booklet on the maintenance questions, there's such a beautiful ceremony at the end. And it's really important that we go through that ceremony, because it talks about maintenance on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And I have a story about that. I was working with a maintenance sponsor and living in Los Angeles when, in the middle of the process, I got a job in Las Vegas. And when I finished all my maintenance questions, it meant so much to me that I got on an airplane and I went back to L.A. to do that step-up ceremony. And we didn't have a place to go. We went to a restaurant, and we did the maintenance step-up ceremony, and then she took me to a meeting, and I got to step up as a maintenance sponsor. There's something very, very special about that. Another question a lot of people have is, how do you know what your goal weight is? Well, we are compulsive eaters. We can't set our own goal weight. So it's very important to get a detached view. For me, I just went to my doctor, and I got a set weight. There are scales, and you can discuss with your sponsor. You can go to a doctor, any healthcare professional, but it's important to explain to them that you are a food addict and that there are certain foods you can't eat, and then they can help you set a weight. It's really important to have that detached view, because most of us will want to get way too thin. And once you have that, then that's black and white. You can go 3 pounds up or 3 pounds down. As far as the categories, you know, realize that it's important, if you have a medical issue, to discuss it with your sponsor. For example, if you have high cholesterol, you're not going to be adding fat. Which leads us into the area of medical abstinence. If you have a diagnosis, or if something comes up, which it often does while you're in maintenance, then you can go to the doctor and get the medical diagnosis and then discuss with your sponsor what to do. For me, I am hypoglycemic, and so with my sponsor, we discussed I had to put in some metabolic items at certain times of the day so that my blood sugar wouldn't go down. But it was very controlled, and we discussed it. Okay, like for example, 10 o'clock, you're going to have 1 ounce of protein. 3 o'clock, you're going to have one fruit. So it's not an excited thing. It's just something else that you're going to commit to take care of what's going on medically. And that's very important. It's really essential to discuss everything with your sponsor. And Jill T. is going to be talking a little later on about emotional and spiritual issues. But, you know, these things can cause that desire to eat. So everything that happens in our life now in recovery is the awareness of what it is and how to solve it with the help of our higher power and the program. It's such a beautiful program because if you're honest with your sponsor and you get it out, you will see recovery, so much recovery in all areas of your life. The true joy in the program is that when we really get down that physical recovery and maintenance, then we can work on the issues that made us eat in the first place. And with that comes such joy, such freedom from the obsession, that no food is worth getting that back. I mean, once you've experienced that joy and no noise in your head about the food, you want to latch onto it with all your might. There's something that's written in our Came to Believe book that I wanted to read to you because it talks about the release from the obsession. And it's on page 27. And what it says, I'm going to switch the drinking to the eating. In the late stages of our eating, the will to resist has fled. Yet, when we admit complete defeat, and when we become entirely ready to try CEA How principles, our obsession leaves us, and we enter a new dimension, freedom under God as we understand Him. And maintenance gives us that. So for me today, to me, that feeling is more important than any food. And I think of the physical abstinence and maintenance as the foundation. It's like we're building a new home. We must have a firm foundation. We must have that black and white abstinence so that we can really find the joy in all areas of our lives. And the whole point of committing the food is it then becomes a habit. So as the food plan becomes a way of life, instead of it being outside of ourselves, the goal in maintenance is to begin to live and be our program with the 7 tools and the 12 steps. And every time we have that desire to eat and we use the steps and the tools, that becomes a habit. It's like instead of reaching for the food, we pause, we say, what tool am I going to use? And over the years, the more we're on maintenance, the more we do that just automatically. So in living this way, we have a disease, and we can slip in maintenance. It's nothing to be critical about or to judge ourselves about. It can happen. So what do we do when we slip in maintenance? Well, again, we have the guidelines in the Forever Abstinent book. If the weight gain is less than 10 pounds, we follow the maintenance food program with the adjustments listed. And basically what it talks about is one fruit only at breakfast, a maximum of 2 grain servings during the day. We subtract additional fats. We cut our protein. And then when our weight is reattained, we follow the transition phases, just like we did in the beginning, allowing the body to adjust to each phase for 1 week before going on to another phase. If the weight gain is over 10 pounds, then what they suggest is you go back to the See How after the first 30-day food plan with your maintenance sponsor. And also, a maintenance sponsor can pray about this. If it's not a serious slip, I always give my sponsees questions. What did you learn from this? What character defect emerged? What would you do differently next time? Because with every slip, and hopefully you won't have too many, or maybe you'll have none. Some people don't have slips. They have that wonderful gift of quiet desperation. But a slip is just a learning opportunity, and it's just learning what happened and what we would do next time. For me, the disease is still in my head. It will still talk to me like I'm hungry or eat that extra food. But in maintenance, I've learned that's the voice of my disease, And I can be aware of that in my head and listen to the voice of recovery. So you are becoming responsible for your own recovery in maintenance, becoming aware. And it's a beautiful thing. We have the spiritual tools, and we become aware of what's recovery, what's the disease. I just want to talk a little bit more about medical abstinence and just say that we are lucky in our program that we can adapt to any medical diagnosis. The important thing is to be honest and, you know, tell your sponsor what's going on and then adjust your food plan. We're very, very fortunate. There are some programs that don't have it. Because the whole goal of our program is to live in the world, to live in the world in the joy of recovery. And I found when a character defect emerges in maintenance, it's very important as part of the slipping process to take that character defect through the 12 steps. And what I've done, what I tell my maintenance sponsees to do, is just to say, like, I am powerless over my blank, control issues or fear or whatever emerges. And then go through every one of the steps. In the fourth step, do an inventory on it, see how it emerged. And then by the 12th step, you can let it go and give it to God, and then be able to help other people with that same character defect. So it's important. You don't want anything in your life that you are going to be eating over. You have to address it as soon as it comes up, any anxiety, any fear. I want to read also something from page 88 in the big book. And what it says is, we food addicts, we compulsive eaters are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. The next thing that I'm going to read as I come to the end of this section is something that is written in our maintenance blue book. And I just love this quote. And what it says is, we accept the fact that ours is a threefold disease, emotional, spiritual, and physical. And we recognize that our successful recovery depends upon our full commitment and daily adherence to the guiding principles as set forth in the See How literature. We must always use the 7 tools and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of the See How program to reach additional levels of recovery. We know from past experience our first tool, abstinence, will bring us happiness, contentment, and a sense of achievement in all areas of our lives as we continue with our recovery one day at a time. So without physical recovery, we can't do anything else. And what else is there? Well, once we get that maintenance physical recovery down, Jill T. is now going to talk to us about what I call the juicy part. The part that brings the promises coming true, the part that brings us joy, spiritual and emotional maintenance. Take it away, Jill.
I'm happy to be here to speak about spiritual and emotional maintenance today in our See How program. My name's Jill, and I'm a compulsive eater. I came to this program October 18th, 2006, released 60 pounds, and have maintained that weight release. I arrived at maintenance 9 months after entering the program and went through the maintenance step-up ceremony and then began working my maintenance program and have been happy to work that program every day since that time. I was brought to the program through my sister, who said that
She was not on a diet, but she was in a spiritual program. And those were the words I'd been looking for since I was 12 years old. I started battling food at that age, and I knew that I could not handle this myself. And at first I went out looking, but what I really knew that I needed was a spiritual program. And thank heavens, I found CHOW and a spiritual program of the 12 steps to lead me through recovery. So how do we work through maintenance and work through our spiritual and emotional program? What I found out from my sponsor, when I came to maintenance, I thought I had arrived. This was my goal. This was what I wanted to do. And yet when I came here, I was suddenly worried that I would never be able to continue staying abstinent and work this program. And so I asked my sponsor about it. And she said, Jill, it's very simple. She said, you know the definition of insanity, where you keep doing the same thing over and over and you get the same result? She said, well, if you want the same result, just keep doing the same thing you've been doing since the beginning. Do it over and over. Do it every single day, and you will get the same result. And it's true. The building stones of this program are what we need, not just the day we walk into this program, not just the first 30 days, but every day after. And they will keep us on the road of recovery, of spiritual and emotional fitness. What are these building blocks? What are these basic things that we learn to do from the very beginning? They are the CHOW concept, that we're in this program together, that we need each other to maintain this program and to maintain our abstinence. I need to shut a door. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm back. Thank you for waiting. So the CHOW concept and the CHOW tools, along with the steps, the CHOW tools become our rock. We give away our food. We make our phone calls to our sponsor and to others. We do our prayer and meditation. We read our literature. We maintain everyone's abstinence. We sponsor and we serve. And these things are always going to be the fabric, the structure of our day. And as we say in the concept, this structure is what has led us to recovery, that we're unstructured people, and by having this structure, we gain a sense of stability in our lives and in our maintenance of our abstinence. What I want to spend most of my time on today are the steps and how each step is so important to our program of spiritual and emotional fitness. And I'm going to start with steps 1 through 3. They remain the starting point of our day as compulsive eaters. Each day we need to wake and we need to spend some time with our higher power. I do this in prayer and meditation. And I just admit that my life, my compulsive eating, is still unmanageable by me. No matter how many days we're in this program, we are still compulsive eaters, and food is still unmanageable by us. I used to think that was a horrible thing, that it would never go away. But now, because of spiritual and emotional stability, I find that it is just comforting to me to know that I have the keys to a life that is meaningful and a life that is spiritual and fulfilling. The second step, I know that there is a higher power that wants to restore me to sanity, and that means keep me out of the food, because food brings me to decisions that are just not good for me or for others, and that to me is insanity. And then I surrender. I start the day with the third step prayer or the serenity prayer, and just surrender my day to my higher power. And that includes today. You know, making a mistake is not easy because I feel badly about my mistake. But, you know, my higher power is great enough to take that mistake and make it okay. And you all are here to support me even in my mistakes. And I thank you for that. That's a great part of this group. So after I take my first three steps, I spend time in prayer and meditation. And I'm going to talk to you about that later after I go through the other steps, because each one of these steps remains part of my life as I live this program and as I maintain my spiritual and emotional fitness. So in step four is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And I love this quote. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. This is the big book, page 75. Before joining See How, I had beliefs. And I had strong beliefs. And I even had spiritual experience. But until I was willing to surrender my food to my higher power, and part of my higher power is See How. Part of my higher power is my sponsor. And my sponsees and everyone in this program, because that's where I was led. And so as I surrender my food each day, because food addiction is such a core character defect with me, this has brought me to a spiritual understanding and experience greater than anything I could have ever had. It's where I really say, okay, I'm not in charge. Okay, I need help. I can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. I can show up, I can use these steps, but I am not the power here. And so that's the joy of my spiritual experience these days. It's that I'm not the power. I do have a director. I do have a God that wants to give me a new life, a life not based on food, but a life based on greater principles. The principles of this program and of these steps. In step four, when I find my character defects and I find them through the day, I turn to God and I ask God, what's going on here? I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling worried, or I'm feeling fearful. What's happening? And I don't have to stop my day to do this. I can take a quick inventory of what's going on around me. Maybe I am too busy, and I'm trying to do too much at once. And that's usually a sign of a control issue, and I simply say the serenity prayer, and I give the control back to God. Maybe I'm not getting along with someone, and I have to look deeper at personal issues. And at that point, I can do that quickly. I can ask God to show me. I can accept the situation as it is, that I have no control over other people, that I can control myself, and that I can ask for that understanding that I need to move forward in this situation. The minute I give this over and don't think that I can control everything is the minute that I start finding serenity again. And I find wisdom for my next right action. So the fourth step always has remained part of my day. And it becomes part of the tenth step for us. But we can still use that fourth column to find out and to delve into deep issues that seem to repeat themselves over and over again. And I love this step. As we work the first 9 steps, we prepare ourselves for the adventure of a new life. But when we approach step 10, we commence to put our See How way of life to practical use. So in the first 9 steps, we are finding our higher power, surrendering to our higher power, finding our character defects, surrendering these character defects, and asking God to make us willing to give these character defects away, to find a new way of living. And that's what step 10 is all about also, because in step 10 we continue these steps throughout the rest of our recovery, and that's where we are in maintenance, continuing these steps. We continue in step 10 to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, we promptly admit it. Here is a quote from page 52 of the 12 and 12. It says, the most common symptoms of emotional insecurity are worry, anger, self-pity, and depression. Oh, that's talking my language. I've felt all of those things and often felt them all at once or within 30 seconds going back and forth to many of them. Thank heavens for this program. Now, to take inventory in this respect, we ought to consider carefully all personal relationships which bring us continuing and reoccurring trouble. So when we take step 10 each day, we're looking at things that seem to be reoccurring in relationships, and we look for our part in that, and we use these steps to work through these relationships and to find the answers. In step 10, we also at the end of the day take an inventory of our day. And what we look for, first I like to look for the good things. I like to look for what relationships went well. Who I might have helped that day. I like to look at people that inspired me that day and how I might want to carry on some of the things that they did to inspire me and carry it to others. I like to think about my relationship that I shared that day with my higher power, with my sponsor, with my sponsees, with this program, and with others, that it was a valuable day because I had so much to share. And then I also like to look at what I might have done differently. What troubled me? Did I feel some of these emotions? Did I feel worry? Did I feel anger? Did I feel self-pity? Did I feel depression? And if so, why? Did something that was said stimulate an old memory in me where I felt like this little child who was never heard? And so I'm angry because I still feel unheard. That's wonderful, wonderful ingredients. So if I'm mixing up a recipe and I have to have all these ingredients, this can be the start of an ingredient for something new to see, for a new dimension of my recovery, for greater spiritual and emotional growth. And so I no longer have to run away from these things. I can look at them, and I can use a fourth column, or I can use the steps 1 through 12 to work through this problem. And I've never been without an answer. It can take time. It can require patience, and that's the wonderful thing I have found in this program also, is that I can wait with uncomfortable feelings and let them be for a while, and not feel that I have to rush out and make myself feel better immediately. That's what food used to do for me. Ha ha. It never did it. I just thought it did. So food's the liar. Now I have truth. Now I have real things that I can hang my hat on and find recovery and find serenity with. So at the end of the day, when I'm taking inventory, the next day I may want to make an amends to someone. I may want to do something differently than I did the day before. I may decide to read something that I haven't been reading, call someone that I haven't called in a while, all sorts of things that part of my day can bring to me in order to face my difficulties and to have a great day, being ready for the next day to start it over. Step 11 is our next step. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I said I'd get back to this because this is how I start my day, and this is how so many others I know start their day. We sent out questionnaires to people and asked people with long-term maintenance a few questions, and one of the questions was about how they use Step 11. And a person said, in quotes, "Really, it focuses on keeping a conscious contact with my higher power. I have to pray and meditate or I can't start my day. Sometimes it's more involved and sometimes it's not, but there is always a consciousness around it." And this is true for me also. It can be as short as a minute, and it can be as long as I want it to be. But it's just touching base with my higher power. It's taking those first three steps, and it's preparing for that day so that I can use each of my tools so that I can walk with my higher power through the day and not direct this life myself, but rely on my higher power for direction. What the 12 and 12 says on page 98 is, "Now and then we may be granted a glimpse of that ultimate reality which is God's kingdom, and we will be comforted and assured that our own destiny in that realm will be secure for so long as we try, however falteringly, to find and do the will of our own Creator." And that's what prayer and meditation does for me. I come in to accordance with my higher power, and I'm in that realm. It's not a realm of a pink cloud. It's real life, and it's where the rubber meets the road. Step 12 is our last step. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This is a response from one of the people I interviewed about Step 12. They said, "I have to live the program, or what's the point? So I seek to be of service whenever I can, no matter what I'm doing. It's not that complicated, unless I make it so. I try to live by saying, keep it simple." And that's 12th step. The 12th step is our service. And when I get outside of myself, when we get outside of ourselves, when we move into caring about the person who still suffers with compulsive eating and caring about others, Rachel Z says, "What can I do for the person who still suffers today? What can I do for you?" And that's really important to me. Service has kept me from returning to the food. I've had periods and, you know, maybe I'll get a phone call, or maybe I have to present a document or a meeting. It keeps me in this program, and doing service, maintaining our own abstinence is the beginning of service and is still the most important service, but then reaching out to others in so many ways is the crux of this program and what keeps us spiritually fit and what keeps us coming back. Now, past the 12 steps, other components of this recovery are the 12 traditions. And often we slip by these 12 traditions, but they are, Big Book, page 562, says that 12 traditions brings us unity in our program. It's the group expression of our spiritual recovery, and that the traditions strengthen and guide our recovery is on page 561 of the Big Book. So these traditions, the tradition questions, are very powerful. They teach us about relationships. They teach us how to stay out of other people's business and to stick to our own. They teach us how to function in this group and in society. They're really powerful. So I recommend you going to your traditions and reviewing them and answering these questions. They're really powerful and bring me to a new spiritual and emotional level. I'll close now with the road to happy destiny. Maintenance is not an ending, it is a new beginning. When I first started the program, I thought maintenance was the destination, but really, it's just the start. Working the steps, using the tools and concepts keep us abstinent and spiritually and emotionally fit. It is worth our time and effort. Sometimes it can take quite a bit of time, and sometimes it only takes minutes, but it's worth every minute of it. Abandon yourself to God. You will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. Page 164 of the Big Book. Thank you for this time to share.
Thank you so much. And Rebecca S. And so right now we have a question and answer period. If you
send
it in,
this is Gabby. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I'm going to just interrupt real quick to say, during my tenure as a Stonebridge coordinator, we have traditionally stopped recording the meetings at the time when people start to ask questions because we don't have their written permission or way to contact them to say, may we, you know, put this up on the website. So if it's all right with you, I'm going to just stop the recording right now, but that doesn't mean anything in terms of the workshop. We can keep going in the workshop for, you know, the entire time. So thank you very much
thank
for your
you
service,
so much,
and
Gabby.
Thank you for letting me be of service during this beautiful
yes,
workshop.
We'll just wait till we hear the recording.